Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have back here on the program once again Dr. Ann Tice. She is a dermatologist, and occasionally we have one of her specialty here on the program. We have a couple of others in the community that kind of take turns, and we like at least a couple of times a year to have one of them on the show to give listeners the opportunity to ask questions about skin. This time of the year, it's winter, and that's pretty hard on skin, and whoever here shows up in the wintertime, we talk about dealing with dry skin problems, so we can talk about that. Anything else that has to do with skin issues, I'm sure that she will do her best to help you out. Given that she can't see you, I always say that when the doctors are here, we have to be a little careful about what we can and can't do because the doctors can't see you. But questions are certainly welcome. We can do that, and we can even talk a little bit about things that can be done, what sort of basic things people can do just to improve the appearance of their skin, make it look as good as it can possibly look. Questions on any and all of that is certainly fine. 333-955 and toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. Well, thanks very much.
Oh,
for
great.
Being here. Just, yeah. You want to do the basics that we can do right up front here. I think any time, whoever it is that shows up here in the wintertime, that's always really the first kind of thing we talk about. Obviously, the winter is really hard on skin and a lot of people, particularly on their hands, like I have that kind of problem on my hands. It gets really red. Sometimes it cracks. Sometimes it bleeds and it's really uncomfortable.
Well, even my deaf brother in Dallas has been emailing me a whole bunch, and that's south. But winters in Illinois, they're tough on the skin. We tend to get dry. The minute the furnace comes on, then it actually takes humidity out of the environment we're living in, and skin gets quite dry. So the basics are I recommend mild soap, Dove or Cetaphil, and there's a moisturizing soap with oil of Olay. Don't use very much. Armpits, face, bottom, and groin, that's it. Do not suds up and down your arms and legs unless you've got really dirty cleaning out the garage. Short showers, not long. Warm water, not hot. Now, that's not fair, is it?
But in the wintertime, yeah, especially,
yeah.
You'd like to have a nice hot.
The longer, the hotter the water, then the more dry you can get. And probably the key thing is immediately after stepping out of the shower, pat the water beads off, but within a minute, try to get a heavy moisturizer on. And my favorite for many years has been something called Cetaphil, Cetaphil, and it comes in a lotion, which I use, or a heavier cream.
Okay. Yeah. Well, those are just a couple of very basic things. We've got some callers ready to go here. We'll take those calls. And then, of course, anything else that's on your mind, you can give us a call and you can talk with Dr. Tice. Again, 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free 800-222-9455. Our first caller is in Urbana and line number one right here.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Is it appropriate to ask Dr. Tice about a fungus infection that gets under your toenails?
Sure, I can talk about that.
Okay, well, I just want to know. It's so persistent. It doesn't seem like there's anything I can do to get rid of it. And is there anything you can suggest besides taking Lamisil, which is horribly expensive?
Horribly expensive and also has to be monitored for side effects. No, toenail fungus is one of the worst things to have. So far as its persistence, it's not usually harmful to the health unless you're a diabetic, but it tends to be a real bear to try to get rid of. There has been many things tried over time. In Europe, they have a topical preparation that will help, I think, about 20 to 30% of the time. That's not been released here. We do have another one that's kind of like painting on a nail polish that's prescription that can be used, but that only helps somewhere 11 to 15% of the time. Now, if your son brought home a score of 11 to 15% on a final exam, you would not be very happy with that. So that's very poor outcome. The Lamisil, well, toenails are much harder than fingernails. Fingernails are easier, but the toenails are the toughest. And even with the strong prescription oral Lamisil that people take, you may only have a success rate of 50 to 65%, depending on the person. That's not very high. So I do not have fabulous advice for you on that.
Mm. Yeah. Just struggle along, huh?
Well, yeah, it's annoying. I mean, when I used, a long time ago when I worked at the VA, I used to see some of the vets. They'd picked it up in World War II and never gotten rid of it.
Mm.
And we even had an infectious disease doctor when I worked at Carl that had it, and he couldn't even figure out how to get rid of it. So it is tough.
Well, I scrubbed my, soaked my toe in bleach for a couple of years, and it didn't help.
Oh, don't do that. That will not help, and it'll really eat your skin. So that's not beneficial. But keeping the toenails trimmed down as much as you can, getting into fresh socks, that will help a little bit. There was some minor report that tea tree oil may help. Doggone it, I've not been able to see that in practice.
Well, I tried that for a long time, too.
Yeah.
It didn't help.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm sorry I don't have a fix for that.
Can you, Dr. Tice, can you tell us where you are now?
Oh, I'm at a place called Hada Cosmetic Medicine, which is actually downtown right near Jim Gold's restaurant.
Okay, what's the name again?
Hada, H-A-D-A.
H-A-D-A. Is that a name? Or?
Yes, that's a name. It's actually a Japanese word that means skin.
Oh.
Yeah, so but it's cosmetic medicine mostly.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Right,
you're most welcome.
Call. I should have mentioned that right at the beginning. I'm sorry I didn't do that. I just said dermatologist
okay.
Dr. Antice. Yes, Hada Cosmetic Medicine in Champaign. The toenail fungus thing is really, it's such a stubborn thing. And as you say, there is this medicine. It's prescription medicine. It's expensive. And even if it works, though, it can come back.
Yes, how annoying is that? For the lucky people that it does work on, and doggone it, a toenail may take 11 months to grow out, so you have to wait an awfully long time before you see, is this working for me? Then you can clear it. Oh, some of the recommendations have been to get rid of all your old shoes. Ooh, I don't know as a female I could do that. But even if you clear it, sometimes it'll reoccur. It seems like some people are just more prone to get it. Like the husband and wife may be living together for many, many years and only one has a problem, although occasionally the other one will get it. But, yeah, it's tough stuff.
All right. Well, let's get to talk next with someone in Indiana, and it'll be on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'd like for you to, if you could, sort of give a general talk about skin tags. First time I ever saw them, I was in a swimming pool and a guy raised his hands to do diving, and I saw these things hanging off him. I asked something to my mother. She says, don't worry about it. You'll get those later on.
Aww.
Sure enough, I do. But I have one that it's above my ear on my skin. And it's I have not been able to see it, of course, but it seems to act like a skin tag. It comes up and gets sort of crusty, then it breaks off in the ends every once in a while. If I have a brush or something, you know, I tear it and it'll bleed. But I was wondering about, are there any, other things that go along with skin tags, cancer, for example, or anything like that, what the treatment is. One doctor said, well, you can have them cut out if you want to.
Sure.
He says, they don't really, unless they're really in a bothersome place, he says, I don't see a reason why you should do that because they don't present a problem.
Well, there's...
And that was the end of it, you know.
Okay. Well, there's a couple different things that I might break apart here so far as categorizing things. Skin tags are... Actually, they like to be around underneath the armpits, around the neck, the folds of the body. And they're just little blips of normal, soft skin hanging off. Dumb things. They run in families. People can start getting them anywhere after 25 to 30 years of age.
Uh-huh.
Some people get a lot and others don't. And they can be annoying because they'll catch on necklaces and clothing.
Yeah.
Those are very easily removed. You simply snip them off. Or if they're a little bit bigger, do a tiny bit of local anesthesia. Now, I'm not used to seeing a lot of them above the ear. If you said that yours gets rough and crusty, that might be a different kind of benign growth.
Okay.
It's got an annoying name, seborrheic keratosis. Seborrheic means oily, which is stupid. I don't think it ever made a lot of sense. Keratosis means rough, and those things are also super common, can run in families, start maybe after 30 years of age.
Okay.
They can be skin-colored, yellowish brown, mostly brown, and sometimes even brown-black. And they may just be smooth or they may be bumped up and very, very rough. Those, in almost all cases, are benign too, and we simply freeze those with liquid nitrogen. Now, there is a little something else. If it's actually at the top of your ear, some people have this little hard, rough, finger-like projection that will stick out. And sometimes, well, it's got another crazy name, cutaneous horn. So it's just like a little firm finger-like projection.
Mm-hmm.
Those most of the time are benign, but every once in a while at the very bottom of that, it may have a little precancerous area or even a skin cancer. So I would probably have it checked.
Yeah.
But particularly if it's that little finger-like projection, that most of the time I'll do a tiny biopsy on, just make sure everything's fine.
Mine is just on the skin above
Above it, yeah. And, of course, without seeing it, I can't tell you. But that's kind of a little bit about all three different types of things that we tend to get.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah, okay.
I'm getting ready to see my doctor, and I thought I'd have
just
her
point it out.
I've never done it before, and then all of a sudden, there it is again. So I thought
I'm going to guess it's a seborrheic keratosis, but just double-check on that.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Most welcome.
Thank you. Very good. We'll continue. And the next caller is in Odell, and this is line number 2. Hello.
Hi there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 7-month-old baby who is battling with what we think to be eczema. It's pretty fierce. I've tried everything under the sun. I'm down to just using plain Dove soap and either Vaseline or Eucerin. The last round at the doctor's office that they gave me was 2.5% hydrocortisone cream, actually lotion. He gets it really bad around his face and his knuckles, and he looks like he's just scratched up to pieces. I mean, he's just constantly digging. I'm concerned about the 2.5% long-term use on his face. I've read up on that it can thin out the skin. And I'm also wondering, too, if how early is too early to take to a dermatologist.
Well, in your situation, it sounds like he's got a fairly resistant amount of eczema. And, again, that can run in families, particularly families that have a history of hay fever, asthma, or eczema themselves.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's unreasonable at all to take him to a dermatologist. Now, what you've been trying, the Dove soap and the mild things I mentioned at the beginning of the program are all great. Eucerin and Vaseline are wonderful. The 2.5% hydrocortisone lotion usually is quite safe. You want to make sure that a medium-sized tube, well, I'll say 30 grams, lasts a long time, though, a minimum of a month. Baby skin is a little thinner. It will absorb things a bit quicker. But I have used that for many, many years on the children I've seen. I might make one mild suggestion, and that is to see if you could get the 2.5% hydrocortisone ointment for the winter.
Okay.
Ointment means it's stuck in Vaseline, and yes, it's a greasy mess, but it's so much better, and it doesn't sting as much when you put it on. Usually it's the cortisone stuck in Vaseline. A lot of the preservatives and some other things in the lotions and creams, well, first of all, those are a little too light, they don't moisturize much, and they sting. And these poor little puffs, they are miserable, itchy.
Yeah, he is. He just is.
I would make sure that, for me, I would make sure that I'm not careless about putting too much suds in with his sheets and such. Make sure the final rinse is completely free of any detergent. And it's perfectly reasonable to take him into a dermatologist. And the more you want to put a heavy ointment on it, like Vaseline or Eucerin, the better it is. These kids tend to improve as they get older, but that may be a long time. I mean, some of the little patients I took care of, even the worst ones, got dramatic improvement. I didn't say cure here. I'm sorry. But dramatic improvement. But that took well into the later stages of grade school. So I think it's very reasonable to hook up with a dermatologist now.
And it's definitely asthma, well, allergy related. Is that true? I mean, eczema, I know it's cold too, but I have terrible allergies. My whole family does have a history. I'm wondering, will the eczema flare up, if he's allergic to animals he's around or anything like that? Will it flare up according to that?
Not necessarily. It clusters in families that have that, what we call an atopic or an allergic type background. So it'll run more commonly in that. And you can have eczema and not develop allergies, or you can have all of the above. But the two times that are worse, the outstandingly worst time is the winter because it's dry. And strangely enough, another time that's really tough on them are July and August. The humidity sometimes will make eczema flare too. So I tell parents to make sure they don't let their child run around on grass that has just had fertilizer put on it because some of the chemicals on that are bad. Not that running around grass is bad. But the chemicals and such is a problem. And with sweating, sometimes it makes it worse then, too.
Okay.
But I would check in with a dermatologist. Certainly, you're welcome.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Oh, we have
a
couple of others. And I should introduce again our guest, Dr. Ann Tice. She is a dermatologist with Hada Cosmetic Medicine, Eds in Champaign. And every once in a while, she's here, and we do this show to give you a chance to ask questions about skin and skin care. So whatever's on your mind, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And next we'll talk with someone in Champaign. Line number 3. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. About a month ago, my beautician told me that she thought that I had developed, you were just talking about eczema, she thought that I had eczema on my scalp because I had an inordinate amount of flaking and it was kind of itchy. And so I've been using a shampoo with selenium sulfide in it, which I was told would help those symptoms. But then 2 weeks ago, I developed on my forehead, especially around my eyebrows, redness dots, some of them quite swollen and scaly, and now it has spread down under my eye orbits. And I'm so afraid that they're gonna something might get into my eye. Can you comment on that? Do you think it sounds like eczema?
Well, I would probably give it a little different term. That sounds like seborrheic dermatitis. Seborrheic means oily again, and, mm-hmm. and that's, strangely enough, the most common thing I'll see is dandruff or itchy scalp. Another favorite location is right around the creases of the nose. There'll be a lot of peeling or flaking there, and another extremely common area is around the eyebrows and to some extent the eyes. And people will try to put moisturizer on it. That'll cover it up, but in a way, sometimes it aggravates it because it's a kind of an oily inflammation of the skin.
It's very uncomfortable.
Yes, it can be, and it may be a little bit worse in the winter. This is what they call cradle cap in children, so it can come on at any age. What I like to do is have the selenium sulfite shampoo you use. It's a good idea. My favorite tends to be a shampoo with 2% zinc in it. One I've used for many years is called DHS, Dermatologic Hair Shampoo, what they call it, DHS with zinc. But look for something that has a 2% zinc, not just a 1%, and I advise people to use that every day.
Mm-hmm.
So far as the areas on your face, this is something that you might want to use as a 1% hydrocortisone, which is available over the counter. Now, I would advise that you use that very sparingly,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as it seems to heal, like perhaps in 3 to 4 days, stop it. If it comes back, you can use it for another 3 to 4 days. That is not meant to be stuck into the eye or applied on the super thin layers of the eyelids, however. Seborrheic dermatitis sometimes will involve the eyelid area, and you can get actually some irritation around the lashes with that too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
and what causes this?
Oh, no one knows either. You know, doggone it, a lot of these skin things. But it's very, very common and tends to be a little bit more frustrating in the winter to deal with. Can be chronic. Again, I cannot promise a cure on this, but we look for control.
Well, I was even contemplating that it might be shingles. Do shingles occur on the face?
Yes, they can, but usually they'll be on half the side of the face, and it won't be flaky. It will be blisters that come up.
Okay.
So, and it'll be in a pattern. Mm-hmm. It's usually extremely painful before it starts, be clustered blisters, like you've had a bunch of bug bites in one area, and then it heals. But I don't think it sounds like that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Right,
thanks. Just for a second, let me ask you about creams or ointments that you can get over the counter that have cortisone, hydrocortisone in them. That, from my experience, that can be really helpful. But is that something that you can overdo?
Well, if you're using it every day of your life, yes. Or if you're using it on an area such as the eyelid area or perhaps the groin or the armpit area all the time, frequently, yes, you could overdo that. I like to have like a 30-gram tube last, at least 3 weeks. Again, most of those cortisones are safe that are over the counter, provided that you use it when you're having a flare and then stop. So you can use it for weeks running and then stop it for a while. If it comes back, use it again.
Okay. So that shouldn't be the kind of thing where you put it if you have bad, you know, problems with your hands. You don't want to be put in on that every night.
Hopefully not. I was going to mention that so far as the over-the-counter hand eczema goes, the 1% hydrocortisone ointment, again, greasy Vaseline stuff, is better for you and may do a little bit of help. But people with really resistant hand eczema, a lot of times we need to give them a prescription-strength cortisone.
Okay. Next, we'll talk with someone on a cell phone, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was just calling. I had a question. It was actually about a friend of mine. He was in the Army, and actually when he was in Iraq, he got a skin disease called lichen planus. And he doesn't really have a lot of information about it, and it took him a really long time to diagnose it. And I was just kind of wondering if you could comment on it or talk about it. He said they they don't know what causes it and, or what it really is.
Talk on it. That sounds like the saga of this morning. No, they don't know what causes it. Lichen, L-I-C-H-E-N. That means flat. It's actually a description of, I don't know, some little critters that are, or fungus kind of thing on trees that are flat. And planoset also means flat. But that is an inflammatory skin condition. It is not known to be caused by, oh, viruses or anything we know of. I think that the fact that he got it in Iraq probably didn't have anything to do with that. It's odd. It tends to have a little bit of a purple color. It can be really itchy. And there are these small little violaceous flat bumps that often are on the arms or the legs. Treatment, again, would be a prescription cortisone. It tends to run its course for many people, but not always. And the only other thing that I might say about it is on rare occasions, there are a few medications that will give you a rash that looks like lichen planus. So he might just want to check what if he's on any medications to make sure that isn't. Then it's easy. You can stop the medicine and it goes away. But a little bit like, it's not eczema, but it behaves a little bit like eczema in that it comes on. We don't understand all of it, and the treatments are usually prescription cortisones.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. And let's go again to another car, and this would be someone in Urbana. And line number two. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Skin calluses on the foot, very painful, and on the hand. They were treated for several years with all kinds of different things by dermatologists. It was not an infection. And then one of the doctors in Iowa, in a casual conversation, suggested to use Vicks VapoRub, and that did the trick. And I was wondering, what is it in Vicks VapoRub that is so much better than a lot of different skin applications that you use for painful foot calluses? I'll just hang up and listen.
Okay. I'm not sure I can answer that. I'm thinking, but I could be, you know, could be wrong that Vicks has some phenol or menthol in it because that has that smell to it, I believe, but I would have to look at it and then guess. Phenol and menthol are somewhat drying to the skin. A lot of times they put them in chapsticks, which is not a good thing because it'll irritate your skin in the long run. And I don't know if there's some way that it dries it out that makes it better. I have no idea why that helped. Calluses or corns on the feet are usually caused by pressure, either external pressure, say from the shoes a person is wearing, or by if you have a little arthritic changes or some bony changes or shifting of the joints of the feet from internal pressure of the bones, and then as you walk on them, you get a thickening or a callus. And then on the hands, calluses would be repeated trauma there, so it's external pressure or friction with that. I can't answer why the Vicks VapoRub, but I think I'll go to a drugstore and look and see what the heck is in that stuff. So
you've never prescribed Vicks VapoRub for calluses on the feet?
No.
You'd not heard of that?
No, I have not. I don't know if there's maybe salicylic acid in it. Salicylic acid is used in a lot of over-the-counter things, and that will tend to thin down thickened skin, but I don't know.
All right. Well, you've stumped the doctor.
Darn it.
Other questions are welcome. Skin care questions are welcome. Our guest is Dr. Ann Tice. She's a dermatologist with Hada Cosmetic Medicine in Champaign. And give us a call if you have some questions. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And our next caller is in Champaign and on line three. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
My daughter, she's preteen. Ever since she was born, she's had these little bumps down the back of her arms. I can't remember the name of what it's called.
Keratosis pilaris?
That's what they call it.
Okay.
It doesn't really bother her other than she's very self-conscious about it. And moving into these preteen years, she's more and more self-conscious. Is there anything that you can do to remove those or lessen them?
A little bit. Keratosis means rough and pilaris means around the hair follicles. And so this is another condition that will be a little bit more common in people whose families have a history of hay fever, asthma, or eczema. It just tends to cluster in that. And they're tiny, rough bumps. Sometimes they'll just be rough. Other times they'll have a little pinkness to them. Sometimes they occur on the thighs also. But they're extremely common. And yes, I know one of my sons has it, and he will not go swimming because he doesn't want to take his shirt off. So you can be very self-conscious about that. It is difficult to treat. Some of the things that help loosen up, well, what happens is right around the hair follicle, there's a little plugging of the skin cells. They tend to get sticky and then clog inside that hair follicle, much like a whitehead or a blackhead would do inside the oil gland. So a lot of the approaches to that are to put something on that will help loosen the cells and make them fall off more normally. Over-the-counter products that have glycolic acid in them, alpha hydroxy acids. I know one that has been tried is called amylactin, A-M-I-L-A-C-lactin. I can't spell out loud, T-I-N. Forget it. I could never be a spelling bee person. But amylactin has a lactic acid in it, and after using it for several weeks, it may help those cells fall off more normally, so you have lessening of it. Then you get into things that involve a little bit more prescription Retin-A. Retin-A has been used for a gazillion years for acne because it helps the skin cells form more normally in the with whiteheads and blackheads. It's used for this too. But darn it, it's irritating in a lot of people. The best results I have seen have been people who could tolerate Retin-A on an every other day basis. So, and that would be safe to use too, but you'd have to get a prescription for that one.
Right. So, well, I try and have her keep it clean and washed well. And
yeah.
Is that a start, or is it not even really related to that?
Well, that probably doesn't make much difference. In scrubbing it and using loofah sponges and things like that, a lot of people just end up getting a whole bunch of irritation without getting any help. But
okay.
I would see if you could try the amylactin. And yeah, it's a funny name.
That's over-the-counter.
It's over-the-counter, and you could try it once a day, and if it's not irritating, twice a day. But you'd have to give it 3 or 4 weeks to tell.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
And on to another champagne person. This is line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaughter has had a persistent plantar's fasciitis, or plantar's wart on the bottom of her foot, on the ball of her foot, for several years. She's tried over-the-counter things. She's gone to several doctors, and right now they've got her on an medication called Caldera to put on her wart, and she's been doing that for 4 months, and it still hasn't gone away, and it's painful to her when she walks on it.
Aldera, A-L-D-A-R-A.
Yes.
Right. Warts are a virus, and just like the common cold, we don't have a great treatment for it. We sometimes make the mistake of taking a cannon to a molehill. I never get expressions right either. What would it be? You know, I can't do it. But anyway, getting overly aggressive with treatment. The typical treatments are freezing with liquid nitrogen. It really hurts. You're walking around on a blister then for at least a week or so, and that has to be done repeatedly, and it takes many, many months. Paring down the skin, in other words, trying to scrape off the callus that forms around it will help. Any other treatments work. Acids have been used. That hurts. There are some over-the-counter things like some salicylic acid plasters that you cut out just the size of the wart and then put a big chunk of adhesive tape over it. You have to do that for months and months, but that tends to thin down the skin so you can get at the wart better. And the newest thing has been the prescription Aldera, which is supposed to help make the body initiate its own inflammation against this virus, which is not part of our normal body. Again, that takes many, many months for it, too. The Aldera is good, and I think it's worth a try, but I would also combine it with thinning down the callus part of the skin,
okay,
like getting a Dr. Scholl's corn file, but make sure it's not used anyplace else because then that tissue may have virus in it. You don't want to spread it
sure
to another area. But Aldera works so much better if you thin the skin. Why, golly, there was even a report once just walking around with duct tape on for months and months. It might help it. You know, who knows? I think there's some witch doctor stuff in some of these.
Yeah, she soaks her foot every morning before she puts that on.
Okay, that's a good idea. But what I would do is maybe soak it a bit at night, try to thin it down, get it as smooth as you can, not to the point where it bleeds. And then I think the Aldera will make more of a help. But our batting average for this is also lousy. You know, a response rate in a study with warts of 40% is phenomenal. Again, not what you'd want to bring home on a final exam. That's pretty poor.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have another question for you.
Sure.
I have like a couple of rough spots on my face. I've had one burned off. It's kind of like a light mole, about maybe a half an inch in diameter, irregular shape. I've had one burned off before, and the doctor said that they run the family, they're age spots, and I'll continue to get them. Is there anything I can do short of having them removed with burning them off?
No, and I'm going to guess this is what the other gentleman was talking about above his ear. I'm going to guess that that's a seborrheic keratosis, and they do run in families, and Yeah, liquid nitrogen is probably the best. The freezing is okay. Probably the best for that.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
I'm not very helpful today. I'm not carrying a darn thing.
You're just confirming what other people have said, huh? Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Okay, here we go. For the record, Vicks VapoRub, the active ingredients in Vicks VapoRub are camphor, eucalyptol, and menthol.
Okay, I got the menthol right. I don't know why that would help. Unless the camphor is having some irritant of the skin. Don't know.
Well, that's supposed to be a topical pain reliever. The camphor is. That's what it says. And so is the menthol. The eucalyptol is in there as a cough suppressant. And then it says it has some inactive ingredients, including cedar leaf oil, nutmeg oil, special petrolatum, thymol, and turpentine oil.
Oh, okay. The petrolatum, that's Vaseline. So that would be moisturizing to a hard area of skin.
Okay.
Thymol, maybe, because thymol we used to put a long time ago on fingernails, around the fingernails where they get real sore and infected with the yeast. I don't know if that kills something there. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess can't hurt you if you want to try it.
I don't know.
Make your feet smell kind of strange.
Yeah.
All right. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455 if you would like to talk with our guest, Dr. Ann Tice. I think we have somebody here on our line number two. I'm not sure. Yes, we do. Right here, line two. Maybe you want to – okay, let's check that one and I think we're getting somebody else lined up here. And if we inadvertently lost the line two caller, please do call us back. Okay, now we have somebody on line one. How about that? We'll go right here. Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, hi.
So there are all these different things for dandruff or dermatitis or whatever the thing is called. There's pyrethrone zinc, which is the thing you recommended a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's coal tar. And there's, I think, one more.
Salicylic acid and selenium sulfide. Uh-huh.
Right.
There's four or five things. Uh-huh.
Can you talk a little bit about what the different ones are for?
Sure. Well, they all can be used for dandruff. Some of them are even used for the flaky condition that people with psoriasis get on the scalp, too. They help, again, soothe some of the inflammation going on with these inflammatory skin diseases, and they also tend to loosen the flake that's there. Coal tar was developed, in the 20s, and that has about a million different organic compounds in it. We're not even sure quite what it is that helps, but it's a good anti-inflammatory. Actually, it was about the only thing that was used for eczema and psoriasis many, many years ago. Coal tar tends to be smelly, and a lot of the products, even though they have been improved, sometimes they still smell like you open the bottle and there's blacktop. So it just isn't aesthetically as pleasant a product as some others. Salicylic acid in a 1 to 2% is used in a lot of shampoos, and that helps loosen the flake too, but tends to be a little bit hard on the hair, I think. It tends to dry it out. Selenium sulfide is excellent. Often we use a prescription strength at 2.5%, but again, that's a little on the stinky side too, and people don't always appreciate that, but it is good, and sometimes a prescription is necessary. But the one I tend to like the best is the 2% zinc. There are some that are 1%. I like the 2%. It's stronger. It does not tend to dry the hair out. It doesn't smell, usually. And I just think it's a nicer product to use on the scalp. And there was some crazy article a long time ago. Again, I've never seen a repeat of it, that maybe it helps maintain hair in men as they get older. I wish I would have a follow-up of that one, but my husband's delighted because he's used that forever. So that's shampoo forever. So I don't know anything about it helping maintain hair or not going thin, but that sounded fun. So that's it. Any other question?
No, I think, do they all work the same way?
They all work similarly, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
So there'd be no particular reason to choose, if what you thought you had was just kind of run-of-the-mill dandruff,
mm-hmm.
any particular reason to choose one over another?
Well, not really, except for, cosmetically somewhere. They used to be, Neutrogena used to be able to have something that had a coal tar and salicylic acid. They were able to combine the two, and that worked very well. But then the FDA said, no, you can't have the two things in the same bottle, so they split them off. I don't know why. Some crazy things happened with the FDA.
Okay. Next up is, another Champagne caller. This is line number three. Hello.
Hi, I was one on line two earlier and got hung up on.
I'm sorry if we did that to you.
Difficulty there. That's okay. My question had to kind of follow up with the little bumps thing, because I've had that my whole life. And yes, we have allergies and hay fever and eczema issues in our family. And the one thing that really helped, like you'd mentioned, it was like the house alpha hydroxy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have no problem finding that on the market. And it got to the point where all the stuff, it was actually called alpha hydroxy was the stuff that was
I remember
that. Yeah, and it was a red. Well, anyway, it got to the point where it was at Big Lots, and I bought cases of it there because that was the only, there was the only place I could find it. And then finally it just ran out. They just stopped making it. And I haven't been able to find anything else along those lines. You mentioned this
amylactin, which has lactic acid. It's a different type of acid.
Is it a lotion, kind of a lotion?
I believe the last I knew they had a cream and they had a lotion. Now,
okay.
I will tell you that truthfully, my favorite alpha hydroxy acid is glycolic acid.
Right. And that's
I think that's more effective and works better. But very few companies, what they would do is they put the right percentage in and then they'd mess around with the vehicle or the cream and dilute it. And so it wasn't as effective.
I found that I needed at least 8% in any. So I always look for 8%
right.
of glycolic acid.
But even the alpha hydrox, they did something with the vehicle. So you were probably getting a 4%. But here,
okay.
This is, why don't you see if anybody has aqua glycolic, A-Q-U-A-G-L-Y-C-O-L-I-C. Aqua glycolic.
Okay.
They used to have a hand and body cream that was pretty good. I hope they're still making it. I think they are. And that is over the counter.
Uh-huh.
The very same company also makes a little stronger version that sometimes the doctors sell or sometimes salons called MD, like medical doctor, MD Forte, F-O-R-T-E. That also has the glycolic acid in it. And I think will be a better product than Alpha Hydrox was.
Okay. Well, I did the other reason is because I have to use it every day for it to be effective. And I was buying some stuff from a salon when I was living up in Chicago, and that was pretty expensive to maintain that. Then that's when I found the Alpha Hydroxy stuff, and that was just sold at Walmart and Target and stuff, and that was a pretty good better price point for me because it's. You have to use it on a daily basis.
Right.
For
well,
it to be effective.
The alpha hydrox is a watered down version. So if you can find the aqua glycolic, I would try for that.
Maybe
that used to be in pharmacies, and then I know our office sells the MD Forte. Whatever.
That might be another option. Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Thanks
good luck
so
with
much.
That.
All
okay.
right. Thank you. And again, we'll go to the next caller, and that's someone listening in Moultrie County on our line two. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
The lady mentioned Eucerin as a possibility of using, and the only caution I would suggest for that is that I had a sister that was extremely allergic to Eucerin.
Yes. Some of these products, individuals can have various sensitivities. Eucerin, by the majority of people, are just fine. Like the majority of people can take aspirin, but some people are allergic to it. Eucerin has a preservative group in it that a few people can be allergic to. And I can't remember if they're putting lanolin in it anymore. Lanolin always sounds like a good moisturizer, but a few people do get allergic to lanolin. So there are individual variances on that. For instance, I'm allergic to a different group of preservatives, so there's a whole bunch of stuff I can't use. But having specific allergies to preservatives or to a fragrance or something else in a product are fairly unusual, and there may only be a few people that have it. Like, not too many people allergic to aspirin. Most people can take it, that type of thing.
Now, the only reason I called was you mentioned using on a baby.
Oh, no. Actually, it's one of the safest things to use on babies, and we've used it for many, many years. Or plain.
Okay.
Now, you can never go wrong with plain Vaseline. Now, plain Vaseline is gross feeling, but there's no preservative in it. There's no fragrance in it. It's pure. And I'm a member of the American Contact Dermatitis Society, and that's a bunch of gobbledygook. That means that I know all the different chemicals and things and what people can be allergic to what. And Vaseline is something that's inert. We don't usually have problems with that. So that one is usually safe.
Okay.
Thank
you.
But thank you for calling.
Thank you. About 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. And our guest is Dr. Ann Tice. She is a dermatologist. Now she's with Hada Cosmetic Medicine in Champaign. And if you have skin questions, that's her special area of practice. You can give us a call, 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And our next caller is in Mattoon. It's line number 4. Hello.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I have a question regarding an insect bite. Over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, about once a year or so, I get an insect bite that does not want to go away. It will appear like a bump, and then it may get a little bit dry and like scalish, and then it'll go disappear, but then you think it's gone, and it comes back. And I went into the dermatologist here in town, and he froze it and got rid of it. But then the next year, one followed up, and it decided to go away in itself for some reason. And then this summer here again, I got the same thing, and it does the same trick. It's like it's a mosquito bite that you think it's going to go away, and it doesn't. And I'm just kind of curious what causes it and what's the best way to get rid of it besides freezing it, which seems to leave like a discoloration on the skin from the freezing.
Well, I can make a couple comments on that. Sometimes people overly respond to insect bites. They get what's called a delayed hypersensitivity, and so this normal little thing that usually goes away after itching for a couple of days can either progress and get itchier and itchier, or it can be settle down, and then you get a delayed response, and then it puffs up a big area. Particularly children will get overreaction to insect bites, little kids. Whatever goes on with an insect bite, it's usually itchy, and people naturally have a tendency to scratch. Unfortunately, with the skin, the more you scratch or even rub at it, the more reactive it gets, the more puffed up it gets. And so sometimes you get in a vicious cycle where it itches, you scratch, it itches, you scratch, and the skin gets thicker and thicker all the time. It can even develop into a condition called prurigo nodularis, and that means itchy bump. How fancy is that? We had to give a Latin name for itchy bump. But it's an extreme reaction to an insect bite. In that case, prescription cortisones we might use, or we might use something like a freezing with liquid nitrogen, although I tend to not always do that. And occasionally I've even injected a cortisone into that. But I wonder if it might be reasonable for you to ask your primary doctor, if indeed these are insect bites, if you could have a prescription for one of the cortisones to try it like right away on those spots before they go down the line and get more and more inflamed. That might help interrupt the cycle a bit. And the last thing would be don't rub or itch it at all if you can help it.
Okay, I will try that then.
Okay, it's tough. All right.
Thank you.
Okay,
right,
bye.
Thank you. And next we'll talk with someone in Effingham, line number 1. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
kind of embarrassing. I take the tub bath and use Caress soap. I don't know if that's got it. It's been the cheapest, so I don't know if it is toxic or things that would dry the skin out. But I've had a tough hide most of my life. Still do, but I've lately been refraining from taking a bath every day. I bathe in a tub with water's not as warm as I can stand it, and I'm wondering if that is a good practice, or if I should. I don't have any problems except on one side of my scalp where it itches and flakes, but I don't wash my hair very often either. I do, you know, I hate to admit all this, but since you're an expert, perhaps you can answer those questions and I can get some resolution about frequent bath or not taking a frequent bath and the type of soap.
Okay. Normally, I do recommend that people, it's okay to bathe every day, but I like, particularly in the winter because our skin gets dry, I like to advise people to have a short bath or shower. And also to use warm, not the hot soap or the hot water. The longer you're in, the hotter it is, the drier and more irritated your skin can get. You get a little bit of moisture out of having the water on your skin, and that's why I like to have people get out and right away put a heavy moisturizer over that to seal the dampness that they've gotten from the bathing in it. So, first of all, I don't think it's a problem to bathe even every day. That's just fine. I do. But I would moisturize right after you get out. If you're soaking in a tub and there's a lot of soap suds in that and you're not getting it off your skin, sometimes that's a little irritating. Therefore, sometimes people do better if they have a quick shower instead of soaking in a tub for a long time. And I probably would not recommend using the hottest water you can, again, because that may irritate and dry your skin out a little bit quicker. I hope I answered your question.
The soap, it's a commercial brand.
The Caress, usually that's fairly mild. I tend to like things that are even a little bit milder, like the Dove, the unscented Dove for men, or Oil of Olay for sensitive skin. Well, stop making that. It's moisturizing now or something.
Oh, right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope that helps.
All right. Well, thank you. And we have somebody else here. Ready to go. And that's someone in on a cell phone, line number, it's in Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I'm on a cell phone and I'm in Urbana.
Oh, okay.
You win.
Both.
Daily double. I have contact dermatitis a lot with a lot of things, and one of the banes of my existence is trying to find a sunblock that I can use on my face that won't make me break out. And I use Cetaphil, but it's only SPF 15, and I'm wondering if there's something stronger that you know of. I know I'm allergic to Coppertone products and Neutrogena products.
This is a pain in the rear, and or
it's
actually,
awful.
It's a pain on the face. I have that, too. I'm allergic to preservatives. I'm also allergic to sunscreens, and I tell you, it's a challenge. There are a couple of things. There's one product that you might look into seeing if the drugstore could order for you. Elta, E-L-T-A. Elta makes a group of sunscreens that don't, they tend to have titanium or a zinc oxide base. They don't have oxybenzone in it or its cousins. Oxybenzone is the main sunscreen that people are allergic to, and it's in just about everything, and it's even in a few shampoos, so that's annoying.
Right.
But Elta makes a facial sunscreen that I know from personal experience I'm able to tolerate. Amazing. There is also SkinCeuticals, which is usually only found in doctors' offices. They make something called a physical block. So again, it has zinc or titanium dioxide in it, which doesn't have that chemical in there that you're probably sensitive to.
Right.
And another thing I am thrilled about, there are some mineral makeups that you brush on, and they give you some sun protection factor also. They're slightly water resistant. I know one at work that, amazingly, I'm not allergic to, is called Color Science. And it's actually this little tube that you push down one side of it. A brush comes out, and it's a very light powder that goes on, which serves not as a foundation. It's not a heavy cover, I like that. It serves as a sunscreen, and it tends to give you a little bit better finish of your skin. I've been loving that to put over some of my regular sunscreens in the summer and then just wear that on a daily basis in the winter. So
okay,
there are some ideas.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Well, we're coming down to the point where we have maybe a 3-4 minutes at least. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you to talk about was for mature adults who are interested in making the skin, you know, look good, without going to great lengths of having all kinds of procedures and spending a lot of money, which, of course, you can do if that's what you want to do. But in terms of a fairly routine, not really invasive things that you can do, what are some basic things that anybody could do to improve the appearance of their skin?
Well, just like the last caller, the first thing, second and third thing would be to use a sunscreen on a daily basis, even if it's just a 15. Although often I have light complexion, I tend to wear a higher number. So then you're protecting your skin from all the indirect sun. And I know it hasn't seemed like we've had sun lately, but there is sunlight that gets in through the windows. So that will tend to slow down aging and protect your skin from further abuse. So sunscreens are the first thing. The second thing is to use something with a retinol in it, either retinol over the counter or the prescription Retin-A. And there are a few companies that have good retinol in it. Retinol slows down aging, may soften some fine wrinkles. It may tend to prevent the precancerous areas. There's a lot. It's an antioxidant. That's good stuff. So there are a few companies. Well, we have one in our office called SkinCeuticals that has a retinol in it. And I think Roque, R-O-C, over the counter, those are two that I think are good. So if you can tolerate that, great. And then the third major category would be to use an antioxidant. What antioxidants do is there's always some sun that gets through into your skin and beats up the elastic collagen, whatever, and then tends to do nasty things like turn on the cells that might make cancer. Antioxidants tend to squelch that reaction. So an antioxidant, I think the finest and the one that's been used for the longest time is SkinCeuticals. It has vitamin C and vitamin E in it and another product called Ferulic, which is a plant extract. Vitamin C, E is good. There is a really big seller that has coffee berry in it called Revali, and that's a very potent antioxidant. It's actually from the coffee plant around the berries. And then there's another one I've been looking into that has a strong type of green tea in it. Most green tea products are not strong enough, but those help prevent the damage from happening, and any one of those might be good.
And we're talking about something that's topical, something
yeah,
you can
actually
put
no,
on
I'm not
your skin.
Talking about drinking green
not
tea.
Not talking about drinking green tea and orange juice. Oh, that's probably a fine thing to do.
I am going to mention real fast that drinking green tea, there's been a couple studies that it tends to slow down skin cancers in people that are very prone to it. So that's exciting, but that's internal. Mm-hmm. So, but topically, the sunscreen, something with retinol or Retin-A, the prescription, and the last thing would be an antioxidant.
And those things are available in over-the-counter?
In some over-the-counter. Unfortunately, not very many over-the-counter things are good or reliable or have a strong enough concentration.
Yeah. All right. Well, any last thing that you might like to leave with people? I think probably it's a good thing to remind because when we have dermatologists here in the summertime, we always say sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreen. But now here what you're saying is, and I'm sure we've said it also in the winter shows, is that really we all should be wearing sunscreen year round, and you should also be wearing it in the winter time, at least you know, on the parts that are exposed, because you are still getting sun exposure,
right?
Even if it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, especially in the last week or so. But that is very important. That's true. Yeah, the American Academy of Dermatology recommends that you use a sunscreen of at least a 15 every day.
All right. So. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Pleasure.
Dr. Ann Tice, she's a dermatologist with Haddock Cosmetic Medicine in Champaign.